Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we have been talking about hearing God's voice and testing it, and then basically what to do then. What do we do with what we are hearing, what we are perceiving? And we've been talking about some general approaches to objectively gain from what God is saying. Now, if you're hearing Him clearly and distinctly and know how to test it, what you're hearing already, some of this might sound kind of simplistic, and that's fine. Our goal here is not that there's one teaching or one approach, but that however you get to a dependent relationship with God and can receive healing and grace and peace and rest and comfort and are active in the gifts of the Spirit and are moving towards a healthier and healthier relationship with others in your life and with God. If those things are going on in your life, however you get there, God has a way to correct any areas you are missing Him and encourage you in areas where you need encouragement. Because by doing that, you are making yourself available to Him to correct and guide and encourage you. It's when we have not taken the time or done the work or received the healing and we're not hearing Him. A lot of people don't know that this is part of their life today. It's not just studying Him. It's being in relationship with God. And if you don't know that this is part of your life here as Christians, then you miss out on what God wants to accomplish in this life. Now, over and over again, we talk about the Spirit is not the problem. When you were born again, you were given a new spirit. You were born again in your spirit. Just as when Adam and Eve died, they didn't die in their soul and they didn't die in their body. They died in their spirit. So when we are raised from the dead, when we are born again, it's not our body, it's not our soul, it's our spirit. And spirit is God's nature. This is our true nature now. There's only two spiritual beings or classifications ever, and that's God and regenerated human beings, humans. That's it. A lot of times when we refer to spirits, it would be more accurate to refer to supernatural beings. Angels and demons, and if you want to go into ghosts or whatever. But those are supernatural beings. Those are not spiritual. If you've been born again, you are spiritual, and God is spiritual. Spirit. That describes your new nature. If you don't know that, you are often, we're often trying to accomplish things that have already been done. And odds are, it's going to be a very frustrating life. So many Christians are still trying to get God to forgive them or to get him to love them or to get answers about things that have gone on in their lives and make up for them. And God has already addressed all those things. So often we think it's our job to fix the things that are wrong with us. And some of us have tried so hard that if they could be fixed that way, they would have been. But that's not God's intent. His intent is not that you can fix yourself. Since you've become a spirit being, you were born again, our focus, your spiritual focus, is on bringing unity in your being, in your spirit, soul, and body, so that you would be one with that eternal life flowing from God through your spirit into your soul and into your body, and then through. There's really a simplicity to the end goal here. And yet, it is hard. It is hard because our soul does not want to die. Our soul does not want to give up power. And now God's not going to kill your soul. Your soul may think it's going to die. Or even want to. Because your soul, without God, has been trying to be God. Every human being needs love, acceptance, to be valued, to be somebody to think that they're significant, that they matter, that they mean something. Those are needs that God has placed in each person's soul. Now, within each person's soul, he's also created your spirit, enlivened by God and being in God, one with him, to meet that need perfectly. Through your spirit, God meets your need for love, your need for acceptance, your need to be valued as an individual. God meets those needs. The problem is your soul wants to maintain those duties. Your soul, the way your mind, will, and emotions has been put together, God created your soul, God gave you your soul, he likes your soul, he's not going to change it. The problem with your soul is not the soul that you have, it's that your soul is trying to fill your spirit shoes. Your soul is trying to meet its own needs for love. Its own needs for acceptance. Unconditional. And your soul is trying to meet its own needs for significance. For value, for recognition. And God will never let that happen. God created your soul to need Him. Need that unconditional love, that unconditional acceptance, that unconditional significance that only He can provide. But even Christians, we have a hard time receiving that for a multitude of reasons. But what He does, because He's gentle, He works with your soul. He doesn't want to destroy it. But your soul needs to let go and release the responsibility and return to just being a soul. Now, what's the duty of your soul? To receive from your spirit. That's it. Just to be what God created it to be. The wineskin for eternal life. Now, we don't know when we receive a soul. We don't know where the soul goes when we die. Or after that, we don't know how many, we just don't know. The Bible is much less clear than we like to think about what happened before and what's going to happen after our time here on this earth. But we do know that right now we can exploit our time here on this earth. And it all comes back to being able to hear, recognize His voice, and understand then what to do with it. So, Lord, again, we just ask right now that You would quicken to our hearts any area that You want to bring healing to. Lord, even if You don't want to bring it to our awareness, we ask that You would give us that healing, whether it's physical, emotional, or even generational. Right now, just You know what we need far better than we do. Lord, I just ask that You pour out Your Spirit into our soul. We accept unconditionally what You give unconditionally. Lord, any interference, we just bind it right now. We cast away that which can be cast away. We bind everything else. And any occultic words or misformed blessings or cursings, any interference, Lord, we give You permission to have full reign in our lives. And we accept the healing and the change that comes from You regaining Your throne in our lives. But Lord, we know that You can be trusted. So Lord, we trust You to do what's best for us. So when we talk about how God speaks to us, we've talked about several different categories when we and why we're doing this is because what we want to do is disconnect from the idea that we need to guess, that we need to, by faith, accept God has told us something. No, when God tells you something, you'll know. You'll know that you know that you know that you know. And it won't be because you have a special gift. You are a special gift. It won't be because of how much you've studied or because somebody prayed for you. You're a son of God. You don't need anything more. But time and attention makes it easier and makes His voice clearer. And your ability to interpret what He is saying, to recognize what He is saying. So you're not guessing, you're not hoping you get it right, you're not by faith thinking this is what He means. For instance, when we talk about dream interpretation, how many books are out there? How many web series on interpreting your dreams or interpreting the symbols of the Bible? It's like the best way to know, okay, what does your dream mean? Ask God. And you always start with, Lord, is this dream from you? So many times people get all caught up in trying to interpret a dream because they thought for sure it was from God, and it wasn't. And all it did was drain their energy and add confusion and divert from the focus they had on God. So we always start with, Lord, is that you? And because he is tuning our ears, even if that voice says yes, but it's harsh, we go, nah, Lord, that doesn't sound like you. Are you sure that's you? And then the voice will say no. And we'll say, I didn't think so. So, Lord, do I pay this any attention? And then God says no. Let's move forward. Just as you, when making plans with a friend, you work things out. Well, I thought we were going to do this. No, we said we were going to do that. Okay, well, let's do that then. You work it out. So don't be concerned at all that you don't get it right off the bat. That's not the goal. What is the goal? Developing the habit to turn towards God first. Not just first, but first, last, and always. But we have talked about recognizing his voice generally. And again, a lot of times he's just giving us a sense of his presence. A lot of times people get frustrated because they know he's there, but nothing happens. Well, this is very often God just working without telling you. But sometimes he's just paying you a visit because he wants to. And he has nothing to say because he's already said everything. And remember, your spirit is already completely communicating with his spirit. So your spirit already knows everything you need to know. Any questions you've got have already been answered. Again, the problem is not between your spirit and God. It's between your spirit and your soul. Now in the scriptures, the part that is trying to maintain control, we often refer to as the self-life or the flesh. But those can get real confusing. But really, it's just the soul trying to maintain kingship. You've only got one throne in your life, on your soul. And God will not tolerate sharing it. What most often happens is God's on the throne in some areas of your life, and your own soul is still on the throne in others. But God's ultimate goal is that he be on your throne 100% of the time. His desire is that you be complete in him, spirit, soul, and body. So after general, God also speaks to us specifically. We use the example, and you can go through the scriptures, about the detailed information that God provides characters throughout the Bible. Think about Noah being given the specifics for the ark. Think about Moses being given the specifics for the temple. And maybe in your own life, you were wondering certain things, and he gave you specific information. It's not a special thing. We're just looking at ways to identify, was that God speaking? Because we want to step back and objectively evaluate. It either was or it wasn't. And we want to be able to deal with that either way. Then we talked a lot about God providing direction and how he often withholds direction. He puts us in a situation where we need direction strictly so that we will have a reason to go to him, because we've missed him, or because this next decision is really important and we have to get it right. But that our need for divine guidance is one of the driving forces in our lives that God uses to get our attention. He sees things that way. He created things that way. So there's no harm in us recognizing and taking the opportunity to seek him. And then we also talked about when God provides confirmation. So after you seek him and you get direction or you get encouragement or you get a healing, whatever it is through that communication, one of the ways God communicates is confirmation. So one of the benefits of gaining the confidence of knowing that you're hearing God's voice is that you will actually become less dependent on the need for confirmation. Now, just real quick, a lot of people really like to fleece. They really like, well, if this is God's will for me, such and such will happen. My brother-in-law will call and ask to borrow some money. Or it will be raining when I wake up in the morning. Or if it's the right job, the new boss would offer me $5,000 more a year than I was expecting. And we fleece things. That's nothing more than guessing. That's nothing more than trying to falsely evaluate God's communication with you. And just real quick, the fleece in that example was supernaturally wet and then supernaturally dry. It was a miracle. It wasn't accidental. Now, if you ask for something miraculous to occur, like diamonds to appear in your pocket, and they appear in your pocket, yeah, then that's good. That's a confirmation from God. Or if you're praying for somebody to be healed and restored, and they are healed and restored, yeah, that's a confirmation. That's a miracle. But we shouldn't need that for our communication with God. So part of the process of learning to hear from him will be to put confirmation that we're hearing from him in its proper relationship, in our relationship with him. The Lord knows we need encouragement and will often use confirmation and give us a sign, give us circumstances falling together in a certain way, or encouragement, or somebody saying something. Because he knows we need encouragement, especially as we start this. But we shouldn't always, we shouldn't continue to need that encouragement, to need that confirmation. Because there's a problem with confirmation. In that if we grow a dependence on it, we have to start distinguishing that God isn't the only one that can confirm his words. Our enemies, the world system itself, there's self-fulfilling prophecy. If you keep on thinking, if you're at work and you keep on thinking you're going to get fired, odds are you're going to get fired. Because you're not going to be behaving in a positive, uplifting way. And you aren't going to be a part of the team, and you aren't going to be contributing to your boss's goals. But we want to be realistic about those expectations. And our other enemy, of course, we know our soul. We trick ourselves. We have become really, really good at convincing ourselves that what we want to do is the right thing to do. And we can convince ourselves that we've heard from God about the most ridiculous things. We can hear from God believe we've heard things that if somebody else told us they were contemplating it, there's no way we would agree that, yeah, that's God. From everything from divorce to abandoning children to stealing to doing drugs. Our soul will justify what it wants to in order to maintain control. So the devil himself as well is perfectly capable of confirming his words using the exact same means God uses. Those things we hear, the justifications, you know, we all have a set of buttons, and Satan really didn't have to learn that much. He doesn't really have to try a variety of different things. He just needed to keep pushing the same buttons over and over and over again until we react. We're not that complicated. He knows how to do this. He's been doing it a long time. But our goal is that those buttons are disconnected and we no longer react. He's still going to push them. He's still going to push our buttons. People are still going to push our buttons, but we don't have to react. Once God knows he has our confidence, he will likely enjoy celebrating with us through confirmation after we have stepped out or made a decision based on an inward confirmation. One of my favorite confirmations in scriptures is God's confirmation to Moses that he was hearing from him was that after Israel was set free, they would worship their God on the mount. Not before, after. So God promised Moses that something would happen after the work was already done, and then that would be confirmed that it was him. Now, Moses would have liked to have had confirmation beforehand. And God said, no, you're going to need to know, have that inner witness, that inner knowing that you are hearing from me. And all you need to do is what I tell you to. So thanks for tuning in. We'll meet again the same time next week. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great weekend.